Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season 4, episode 3 of Blue Big Tip Buddies. Back in the room because it's Wednesday, and you know we're always going to get something for you on a Wednesday. Please welcome, as always, best of the business, Bruce Jackson.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. We will be talking about Jackson's new favorite hockey team, the St. Louis Blues, later in the show.
10 seconds before we started recording, he's like, how are your Blues doing? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Noted hockey fan, Jacqueline. All right, first of all, to start the show, where were you for the Anthony Leal legacy game?
I was in my apartment working on homework, and I had the game pulled up on my computer, like, but I was listening to it. I was listening to the broadcast the whole time. So I wasn't watching it, but I could just hear the desperation in everyone's voice in that game. It's just like, can we please win this one? We're up by 17 at half. We blew the lead. We're down 4. We're up 2 again. It's just like such a back and forth battle with this team.
The lead was at its biggest was when IU was up 31-15. They held Iowa scoreless for 6 minutes.
God.
And then, you know, Iowa doing Iowa things. They just started making shots, just the stupidest shots. I have been saying for the longest time, with Xavier Johnson playing really poorly, with CJ Gunn playing very poorly, and just the guard play not being very well, I'm like, give Anthony Leal some minutes. I'm like, he might not be the best player out there, but he will go out there and he will give you effort. He will hustle. He will try on defense. I'm like, at least give him a chance. Well, Anthony Leal got his chance last night, yeah. And he drained 3 threes. And had a very tough baseline drive, 13.7 rebounds in 22 minutes. He saved the game with Malik Renu.
Oh my God! Yeah.
With Malik Renu going down to injury, with Xavier Johnson going down to injury at points in that game, and Khalil Ware was playing on a bad foot. He stepped up.
Malik Renu only in for 3 minutes.
What'd you say?
3 minutes. It says.
Yeah, he got hurt 3 minutes into the game.
Like, that's rough.
He needed crutches to get off the court. I really hope he's okay. Because if he's done for the year, we're cooked. Our team is so cooked.
I mean, this team has been cooked for the past, you know, month or so. But it's just been like a slow death sort of thing, you know? Like, it's an impending doom kind of thing that we've all been expecting. But tonight, last night, I should say, yeah, Anthony Leal kept us alive. I was texting with my brother last night, and we were just talking about this team, and we were just basically talking about the unlikelihood, I guess, for the tournament and everything. And I just said, we'd be lucky to make it to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, much less the March Madness tournament. I mean, guys are going down. Like you said, Xavier Johnson's not having a good year or anything. So, yeah, like guys like Leal need to step up, and last night he did, and it was freaking awesome.
I think, okay, so pretty much most of these games, most of them are must win if they want to make the tournament.
Oh, absolutely. Everything is
must
win.
Last night especially, I think that the biggest game on their schedule in terms of making the tournament, there are two games that I think if they get one of them, they'll be in decent shape. Because here's the thing, they'll be Penn State Saturday. Penn State's awful. They're they're bad. They are at Ohio State Tuesday. If they could steal a game on the road, that would be huge because Ohio State has been bad recently. They have lost, I think, 6 of their last 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, they've lost 6 of their last 7. They lost to IU, Wisconsin, lost to Michigan, beat Penn State, but they've lost to Nebraska, Northwestern, Illinois. So this is an Ohio State team that's reeling coming into this game. They got to go at Iowa. They are at Iowa. Friday, and then they play IU at home on Tuesday. So if that's one of the games that I think if IU could steal on the road, they could be in good shape. They're not winning at Purdue, and no one's going to like knock them down because they lost at Purdue. They're just not winning that game.
No, they're not.
But after those games,
like, we'll still be hyped for them, you know, like we'll still be cheering them on and everything, but like it's not going to happen.
All right. But after that, they have 4, I think, very winnable games. They're home against Northwestern, home against Nebraska, at Penn State, home against Wisconsin.
But, I mean,
I think there is a very good chance they can win all four of those. But they're going to have to win all four of those.
They'd have to if they want to make the tournament, you know.
I think they have to win one of Ohio State or Wisconsin.
I mean, do you really think, do you really think, though, that, like, those are going to be the make or break games that helps us get into the tournament, though? Like you said, Ohio State hasn't been very good. Nebraska, nobody's really heard much from them. I mean, if we can pull off a win against Northwestern, that's cool because they beat Purdue. But since then,
Nebraska.
I just don't see how those are going to be vital to our survival, though.
Yeah. I think if they get to 20 wins, they will make the tournament. That's the number. 20 wins is the number. Mm-hmm. I don't think they leave a 20-win Big Ten team out. I don't think they will.
Maybe. You could be right.
Especially since it's Indiana. I don't think they leave a 20-win Indiana team out.
I mean, again,
Now, no one thinks
like
we're
going to... Go ahead.
One thinks we're going to get to 20 wins. I think we'll be sitting at, like, probably, like, 18, 19 come the Big Ten tournament.
I'm not confident in our ability to get to those 20 wins simply due to the fact that how last night went.
Yeah.
You have a 17-point lead. You can't be giving up 17-point leads. That's happened so many times this year.
Yeah.
Like, where it's gotten too close for comfort, despite the fact that we've gotten a big lead early in the game. Because there's been a couple of times where we've gotten really good leads, you know, but it's just the defensive aspect of our team that just slowly chips away, you know? And it just... Yeah, if you want to go up against guys like Northwestern or Nebraska, you can't be giving up 17-point leads.
No.
Even if you're at home. Especially if you're at home.
They are still 500 in Big Ten play. You got to finish above 500 in conference play. And I think they will. I don't think they'll finish with a losing conference record. But
like, in terms of the Big Ten, we're pretty, like...
The Big Ten is also down this year.
The Big Ten is down, yes. But, I mean, because of that, we're higher than expected, really.
Yeah. So. We'll see. As far as I'm concerned, the season is still alive after last night. That delayed... The nail's final descent.
Which is really funny to hear you say that on the air, because off the air, as soon as you walked in, you said this team's going to take off 5 years of my life if I keep watching.
Oh, no, they will. They will. I'm gonna play a clip for y'all. My roommates hate on Gabe Cupps. They say he's like the worst player ever. And that's my boy. That's my little baby boy.
He's everyone's baby boy, it feels like.
Here's the thing. We were down two with a minute 30 left, and they ran a play for Gabe Cupps. He hit a three. It was his first basket of the game. And I said that to
I'm proud of you for having the self-awareness in that moment when you took the video.
I know.
I'm proud of you.
It's
his first basket.
All right. If Renew is healthy, we can maybe rip off some wins, because the hardest games were Purdue at Wisconsin at Illinois. That was like the toughest three game stretch you could like possibly think of.
And part of that reason why Purdue was so hard was because, you know, like guys like Ware were not in the game, you know, for foul trouble and stuff like that. So if we don't have our core guys out there on that court, we're not good, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even with them, we're not the best team in the world or anything. But, like, when you take those guys out of the equation, like, there's nothing there. There's nothing there, especially for the bench.
Yeah, that is for sure. Other games in college basketball. South Carolina took down Tennessee 63-59. One of my buddies in our baseball club is a grad student transfer from South Carolina.
Yeah.
So he is very excited.
He gave you an earful about it.
Right now. No, he did. I don't really care that much about Tennessee basketball. Like, I'll root for him.
Yeah.
But still, though, Tennessee, the problem with Tennessee is they have a really good defense. Their offense sometimes lags.
Which is honestly kind of the opposite effect of a lot of teams, though. You know, they have a good offense, but their defense isn't very good.
Like, here's the thing. If they get, like, 80
I guess that's kind of IU basketball.
Like, if they get 80 points, they're winning. Like, in all these games they lost, it's like they lost 72 points. But, like, in all these games they're winning, they're dropping 91, 85, 85. But, like, yeah, 59, that was not a very good performance. South Carolina is quietly 18-3. Very quietly. With wins over Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah. Very quietly.
They're going to be ranked in the next. Oh. In the Absolutely. Next poll. They got to be.
After taking down Tennessee and Kentucky, yeah. Yeah, they have to be.
Georgia Tech, a now 10-11 Georgia Tech team, took down UNC 74-73. That was a massive trap game for North Carolina because they play Duke this Saturday. Oh, you could tell they were looking way ahead. And they slipped up to a team with a losing record. I really hope that doesn't happen to IU. Against Penn State. But they are at home, though, so I don't think that'd be a problem. Georgia Tech, great win. They stormed the court. Good for them. So they're not going to make the tournament, but,
It's a fun memory.
In seasons where you're not very good, you'd be like, hey, but we beat number three North Carolina, though.
Yeah, especially for the guys on the court. It's going to be like, team itself wasn't much, but We beat North Carolina 1 year.
Yeah.
Number three ranked North Carolina.
So Marquette really cool. takes down Villanova 85-80. I have been seeing Villanova ranked higher than IU in a lot of brackets. A lot of, last four in, first four out kind of deal. And they don't even have IU on the board. And I'm not saying that you need to have IU on the board. Villanova should, no. They're not, no. IU is a way better team than Villanova. Villanova has a loss to Penn. They have a loss to St. Joseph's, and they have a loss to Drexel. And you're telling me that team? Yeah, they beat Creighton. Yeah, they beat UNC. But, they've lost to some bad teams, and they're 11-10 now.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be putting Villanova in the tournament conversation before IU. I'm sorry. They have too many just head-scratching losses. They do have some good wins, but, I'd rather take, I'd rather a team that has a little bit of a better record and is good against decent teams than a team that will beat a good team and then lose to Drexel.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here with that. Sorry, I had to get that off my plate. But they almost took down Marquette at home. But
they did.
Marquette had a big lead in that one. They were up 20 actually, and then Villanova came back and took the lead. But Marquette was able to hold them off in the end. Illinois won at Ohio State 87-75. Close game until about halftime when Illinois took a 9-point lead and then basically just rode that the whole rest of the way. Good win for the Illini. TCU took down Texas Tech 85-78. Dayton still up there 17-3. They took down George Washington yesterday. Oklahoma, who I've been saying is the country's most fraudulent team, took down Kansas State by 20 on the road, so shows what I know. Kansas beat Oklahoma State, Utah State beat San Jose State, and Colorado State got a big win over San Diego State. Let's see what we have. I'm not even going to talk about the midweek games. I'm just going to jump ahead to Saturday and Sunday. We have some massive. There are four top 10 matchups.
Yeah.
In college basketball. That's crazy. You never... Four top 10 matchups is crazy.
It's going to be a good weekend.
First one is number 4 Houston at number 8 Kansas. This is a tough one because Houston... I am so sick and tired of people saying Houston's overrated. They're fraudulent. They're this, they're that. They're this, they're that. This is a legitimate team. You guys got to get ready. They're 19-2. But they ain't play nobody. Every year, Houston, they don't play nobody. They have a win over Texas. They have a win over Kansas State. They have a win over BYU. They have a win over Texas Tech. They have a win over Xavier. They have a win over Texas A&M. They have been beating legitimate teams. If you look at the efficiency numbers, their defense is 6-8 efficiency points ahead of second place. Mm-hmm. They're that good. On defense, they just took down Texas in overtime, 76-72 on Monday. Now they got to turn around and play Kansas on the road. This is a Kansas team who has been struggling in Big 12 play. They're only 4-3 in conference, I believe. Let me check. Oh, they're 5-3 in conference now. They just picked up a win. But this I don't think is going to be a game where, Kansas is the home team. They're going to come in and win. Because Kansas, they've struggled. They have a loss to a losing record West Virginia team. They lost to Iowa State. They lost to UCF. They had a close win against TCU. This is a really good Kansas team, but they've had their fair share of struggles.
Mm-hmm.
this is pretty 50-50 for me on who I think is going to win. I definitely think Houston is a better team.
It's always tough, though, to go on the road to Kansas.
I know.
No matter what the team is like. I mean, it's like IU. I mean, no matter what the team is like, the environment is going to be there. Fans are always going to show up. The environment's always going to be tough to play in, especially on the road.
I think Kansas pulls out a close game. I think they win by, like, two. This is going to be a fantastic game.
You think
game.
Kansas pulls it out
close?
I think
Kansas pulls it out really close.
I think I agree with you.
Just because of the home court.
I think it's going to be a big win for Kansas, and I think that home crowd is going to be way too much for Houston to handle. Not way too much. I think it's going to be a close game, you know, but I don't...
Defensive teams are better on the road than, like, offensive teams. Because... Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, we'll see, though. That's going to be a really good game. The second top 10 matchup that we have, Battle of Tobacco Road, UNC against Duke at 6:30 in the Dean Smith Center. I don't know who I want in this one because, you know, this is always going to be a game, no matter what each team is ranked.
Absolutely.
Always going to be a game. Duke took care of their road game. They beat Virginia Tech 77-67.
Yep.
North Carolina, as we said earlier, did lose to Georgia Tech last night. Ultimately, they're not going to care about those games when they get to this one. I like UNC. I just think UNC's a better team. Duke, I think, is incredibly overrated. This is a team that has a home loss to Pitt. I mean, Duke actually also lost to Georgia Tech on the road.
Did they really?
Yeah, earlier in the year. I forgot about that. They have a win over Baylor, but, like, yeah, they have a home loss to Arizona. They have a loss to Arkansas. I think North Carolina is just, they're a better team, and they're at home. I think that the Tar Heels are going to end up pulling away with those because North Carolina doesn't really have any bad losses. They've been taken care of. They lost to Villanova in overtime, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a win over Tennessee. Dropped 100 on Tennessee, actually. Their only losses, they have a close loss to UConn and a close loss to Kentucky. But they beat Oklahoma, and they beat Clemson on the road. They've been playing really well. Besides last night, I think they're going to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think North Carolina wins by about, like, 5 or 6.
Okay. It's... I mean, this game is always going to be tough to call just because of the rivalry aspect to it. You said UNC by 5?
Yes.
I mean, I don't even know if it'll be that close. Like,
they could win it by 10.
I don't know. It's I got USC. I've got UNC too. I think it'll be a little bit bigger of a lead. I think it will be.
You think?
I don't know.
What I think will happen is UNC will break it open in the first half, and Duke will spend the whole second half just slowly coming back.
Yeah.
But it won't be enough.
I think that's a good call. I think that's a good call, honestly.
All right. And then the last top 10 matchup, Tennessee at Kentucky. This is a big one. Oh, by the way, for Duke UNC, you can get tickets on Vivid Seats as low as $407.
Oh, there you go.
So that's fun. Tennessee at Kentucky, though. I don't know about this one. Kentucky does have a game on Wednesday. They are home against Florida. Tennessee, on the other hand, does not have a game since they played last night. This is also just really tough to call. I think Tennessee is overall better. I just think they are. They have the defense, and all of their losses, their losses are like a close loss to Purdue, a close loss to Kansas, a close loss to North Carolina.
If they can pull this off, like, that's a big rebound from losing to South Carolina.
Yeah, but this is a team that took down Wisconsin on the road. I know Kentucky gets it at home, but I don't know. Kentucky, they're a younger team, and I feel like in a game this big at home, I don't know if they're up to the pressure. I don't know. Kentucky did lose to UNC Wilmington earlier in the year, but they also did beat North Carolina.
I don't know.
This is a team that's been good against good teams, but not so great against bad teams. You can call this a biased pick. I'm going to take Tennessee.
I mean, I'm going to keep pulling off this card, you know, and you can tell me that I can't keep doing this, but I mean, it's true. Like, Kentucky is just such a powerhouse in basketball, though.
Yeah.
They're exactly like Kansas. They're exactly like IU. No matter how good the team is, that crowd is going to be electric. Tennessee is going to have a very hard time in this game, and I think Kentucky can definitely pull off a win. So I think Kentucky's for sure.
They could definitely pull off a win.
I think Kentucky's gonna come out on top on this one, just because everyone's gonna be there. Everyone knows how big of a game this is. It's gonna be a big momentum shift for both Kentucky and for Tennessee, because taking two losses in a row is gonna be rough for them, no matter who you're playing.
I'm banking on Tennessee coming into this game with an attitude, because they have been pretty good on the road. Their only road loss is to Mississippi State. And I think they lost to North Carolina on the road. But still, though, this is a team that has a win against Wisconsin on the road, who is now ranked in the top 10. We'll get to them here in a second. They beat Georgia on the road. This is a team that's coming to road games with an attitude. And I think Dalton Connect, he's crazy. Mm-hmm. He's so good. Yeah. He's probably right behind Edie for player of the year.
Probably.
Speaking of Zach Edey, the fourth top 10 matchup is number 2 Purdue at number 6 Wisconsin. This game is on Sunday. Who do you like in this one? I don't know.
I mean, you know who I like. I mean, I like Wisconsin better, but that's just because...
No, to win the game.
Yeah, to win the game. I mean, Purdue is been a staple so far this season, but I mean... As IU fans, we always kind of hold that grudge. It's just like, well, it's just Zach Edey. It's just that Zach Edey out there.
So
but
when IU played Purdue and Wisconsin in back-to-back games, I watched both those games play, and I saw Wisconsin play, and I was like, you know, this is a pretty good team. But they're not, like, setting the world on fire. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a game I feel like IU, they cut that lead down to, like, 6 in the second half.
They cut the lead down very quick.
I thought that was a game maybe IU could pull away a win.
Now, obviously, like, that game, like, that lead cut ended up not mattering or anything, but it does just go to show.
Here's
like,
the thing, you know. You watched them play Purdue, and you're like, oh, they don't have a chance. I think Purdue is a significantly better team than Wisconsin.
You think so?
I think so. At that game when IU played Purdue, Purdue could do nothing wrong. They did whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And part of that was you want to talk about coming in with an attitude on the road. I think we need to give Purdue credit for that game against IU. That team came in with an attitude that said, we lost to these guys twice last year. It is not happening again. Overall, I don't know. I know that game's going to be rocking for Wisconsin. I think as a team, Purdue is just a lot better than Wisconsin.
A lot better because, I mean, Wisconsin is really good, though. I mean, number 6 in the country.
I'm not trying to say that Wisconsin is bad or anything. Purdue is on a mission this year, and I think you could tell that if you watch them.
They've been embarrassed the past 2 years in the tournament, you know, losing. Did they lose the first round both times?
They lost to the Sweet 16, but it was to a really low seed. Okay. But I'm telling you, if you watch this Purdue team play, it's a team on a mission. And the only two Big Ten games they lost were Nebraska, because Nebraska could not miss from 3. Mm-hmm. And it was a road game. And then the other game they lost was Northwestern, which was in overtime, and, you know, Boo Boo, he's a dog. I think those are the only two games they lost. But then again, this team's beat Tennessee. They beat Gonzaga. They beat Marquette. I feel like I'm talking about they beat Arizona. They beat Alabama. They beat Iowa. They beat Illinois. They beat Iowa again. They beat Indiana. They beat Rutgers. This is a team that is blowing teams out. Like every game. This team's on a mission.
I mean, I'm with you. I think Purdue pulls off this win. It's not. I mean, pulls off makes it sound like it's probably going to be close, but yeah, I think I agree with you though.
And what's also really tough for Wisconsin. And it's kind of unfortunate the schedule shakes out this way. On Thursday, they're at Nebraska. And then they got to turn around and play Purdue at home.
Damn.
So I don't know how that's going to work. Purdue does play Northwestern today at 6:30 at home. They should win that game. I think they're going to get revenge on Northwestern. But I'm telling you, it's kind of like when Virginia lost to a 16 seed, and then the next year they just came out and won the national. I'm not saying Purdue's going to win the national title, because there's a ton of other really good teams. Mm-hmm. But... this is a team that's not fucking around this year. Let's talk about the NFL.
The matchup is set.
And nobody's happy.
No one's happy.
Nobody's happy. Oh, my God. Okay. Conference championship game. Chiefs-Ravens was the first game, the early game.
Which I was really surprised by. I was really surprised by that. Just because the Chiefs are the powerhouse of the NFL, I was shocked that they didn't make them the primetime game. Like, I understand that the Lions had a chance to make the Super Bowl for the first time.
I think a lot of people really wanted to see the Lions.
Oh, a lot of people wanted to see the Lions.
Yeah, we'll get to the Lions. I have never seen a more hyped game be that just incredibly boring. Holy cow.
I don't know about incredibly boring. I don't think that's fair.
It got interesting, but like, everyone thought this was going to be like a game of the century type matchup, and it ended 17-10 to the Chiefs.
I mean,
I don't think you could blame this loss on any. Look, I love Lamar Jackson. I have a Lamar Jackson Louisville jersey. My dad went to Louisville. I've been a Lamar Jackson fan since he got to Louisville. My dad has like the USA veterans Lamar Jackson Louisville jersey with like the stars. It's so tough. I'm the biggest Lamar Jackson like advocate.
Mm-hmm.
He is to blame for this loss.
And I don't know.
And I don't think you could blame anybody else.
I don't know if that's 1,000%, though. Because, like, that first half, he was on fire. He was really good the first half.
The Ravens put up 7 points in the first half. And near the end of the game, he's trying to do too much. He's forcing throws into triple coverage.
But that's not all on him, though, okay? Because the Ravens are a run-first offense.
And they were running the ball.
They weren't.
They weren't. So you could blame it on the other Harbaugh. So
you can't really put too much blame on Lamar because he's never had to throw that much in a game before. I think they said he threw like 36 passes in the second half, and they only ran the ball like 6 times.
They gave like 3 carries to Gus. Okay,
that's like it's literally the inverse of the Michigan Penn State game, where after the first half, Michigan literally just ran the ball the entire time. Like, it was the inverse of that. They just passed the ball the whole time, and that's not their identity.
Here's the thing, though. People are gonna hate this, but like, the play that lost him the game was that Zay Flowers fumble. And that was so tough to watch because Zay Flowers was the only guy out there doing anything.
The one play that I did kind of like blame Lamar for and like was getting a little agitated by was his interception that he threw to triple coverage in the end zone. Like, he threw that ball. And, like, I guess it could be argued there was pass interference on the play, maybe.
There were 3 guys. But, what are you doing?
But, like, Lamar's doing this the whole time and, like, doing that. And I'm like, Lamar, you threw that ball into triple coverage. Like, that's just not the right move, you know? Like, that was the one play that I did not – that I gave him some grief for. But other than that, like, I don't think you can blame Lamar too much on – that game, just given the fact that they did not stick to their identity. And Lamar's basically the reason that they got to where they are.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. He just was bad. He just was really bad. Zay Flowers, though, had the touchdown earlier in the game, pulled down a 70-something yard odd completion, and then spins the ball in L'Jarius Sneed's face. He gets called for taunting, but whatever. Yeah. He gets another catch, dives for the goal line. Who other but L'Jarius Sneed punches the ball out. It's into the end zone for a touchback. They lose out on 7 points, and the Ravens lose by 7. Incredible
defensive play, though, when his arm just comes in and just knocks it right out.
Some Patriots player was talking about how Bill Belichick was taught his team, and never dive at the goal line just because there's a chance that happens.
Yeah. The chances are always low, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah.
So.
But the Ravens also wasted a terrific performance from their defense.
Oh my god.
Their defense played so well.
They did.
Even with how good their defense played, though, they took some ill-advised penalties. I was playing ping pong with my buddy while the game was going on, and I heard rough for the passer. I'm like, they gave Mahomes every call, but I didn't even see the play. They showed the replay. And I was like, oh, he murdered him 3 seconds after he threw the ball.
Yeah.
It was the play where Jadeveon Clowney, like, hit him in the head.
But you still have to give their defense so much props because the fact that you held Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to 17 points is kind of absurd.
Kelce had 11 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown.
Kelce was ridiculous this game. He's been the talk of the NFL. Everybody's kind of giving him grief because of the Taylor thing. You cannot deny that Travis Kelce was phenomenal that game. Undoubtedly the player of the game. He made so many ridiculous catches. catches.
Yeah, he saved that game for the Chiefs when they needed him most.
The one play that just made my mouth just drop was the play where Mahomes had a day and a half in the pocket to throw. The pocket finally starts to collapse. He's running all over the place and just kind of like just – I don't even know how to describe it. Like, kind of threw it like a dart, sort of.
Yeah.
And somehow Kelce just, like, dove and made an incredible catch. Like, he just kept that team alive in so many times in that game.
So the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. Nobody's happy. The second game was Detroit-San Francisco. Detroit was on their ass in the first half.
Incredible first half.
24-7. They could do absolutely no wrong.
Go ahead.
Then in the second half, they crawled into a shell and were not found until 56 seconds left when Jamison Williams caught a touchdown to cut the lead to 3. They didn't get the onside kick. San Francisco with 27 unanswered points.
Everyone's going back to the final field goal of the first half that the Lions took. I saw some tweets that people were mad that Campbell kind of abandoned his identity to kick the field goal rather than go for it.
And that's what my buddy was saying. He's like, oh, they left 4 points on the board, lost by 3.
You cannot risk that. Like, if it's in those final minutes of a first half right there and you got to give the ball away that second half. Or no, they got the ball that second half, right?
No, I think they did give it to him.
No, that's right. They did. They got the ball first and they scored off the first drive. But they got
a field goal on their first drive to make it 24-10. But like, you can't risk keeping that as a two-score game.
You take the safe 3 points right there. That was undoubtedly the right call to just take the field goal and get the 3 points. Like, I think he had his offense on the field to like maybe try and trick him or something. I don't even know what it was, but then they called a timeout and they brought the kicker back on the field.
If it was from like the one, maybe they were like the 4 or 5.
Yeah, like if you're on the 5 yard line, like that's too much of a risk. You can't take that risk. You have to take the points when you can get them.
But San Francisco is why I picked it with the Super Bowl at the start of the playoffs.
Really?
At the start of the playoffs, I picked San Francisco.
Really?
I said it would be Baltimore, San Francisco, and that San Francisco would get their revenge for the regular season.
I can see that from the perspective of earlier in the season, but the way that they've played these past two playoff games, I have not been impressed. I genuinely think the 49ers might get steamrolled
in the Super Bowl.
I really think so.
I don't think the Chiefs are good enough to steamroll the 49ers.
But no, you can't say that just because.
I'm saying the talent, the skill and talent gap is not there for Kansas City to win this game.
I definitely get that.
And they have 2 weeks to prepare. Like, who cares? But they barely won their two games.
The same thing can be said for Kansas City, though. They've got 2 weeks to prepare, and you forget. They've got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It sounds cringy, but you can't deny the fact that they are this generation's version of Brady and Gronk. They're the next generation of that. Like, they are. My dad, growing up, my dad always said to us, like to my brothers and I, no matter how good we thought the Colts were, no matter how bad we thought the Patriots were, he's like, no matter what happens, no matter how good they are in the regular season, by the time playoff time comes and the Patriots are in the playoffs, Brady and Gronk are unstoppable. Like, the switch just gets flipped, and it's the exact same way for Mahomes and Kelce. It doesn't matter how turbulent the regular season was. Once the playoff time comes, the switch gets flipped.
All right, so before we talk about the Super Bowl, I do want to talk about the Lions one last time.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell in the locker room was like, guys, this is our best shot. It's going to be so much harder next year, blah, 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 blah. You can't say that to your team after getting eliminated. I'm telling you right now, they will never get this far again.
That left a sour taste in my mouth. Yeah.
Will not get this far again.
They had
a good run. They were halfway for the Super Bowl. They blew it. You can't recover from this game.
That's just not the right thing to say as soon as you lose the game. Like, that's just not how end the season right there.
They will never make it this far again. It'll take them another 30 years to get back here.
I don't know about that.
The Detroit Lions.
I don't know about that. I don't know if it'll take them 30 years to get back here because they've got a lot of the same guys coming back. Like, their offensive coordinator was supposed to leave and I think go to Washington to be the head coach, but he canceled that whole plan. He's like, no, I'm coming back. We're going to run it back and we're going to do it again. You know, they've got the same guys coming back, you know? So
they won't make it this far next year. They won't.
It might. I don't know.
Because they're a bad team. It's because they're the Detroit Lions.
I don't know.
All right. Super Bowl is Chiefs 49ers. Early spread has San Francisco by 2. I think, okay, here's what I'm going to say.
I can't believe that. I really can't believe that.
Here's what I'm going to say. San Francisco is the better team on paper.
Yes, I agree.
Because, okay, KC has a better quarterback. Brock Purdy is not as good as Patrick Mahomes. News, breaking news to everyone out there. But they have a better running back. They have better receivers. Mm-hmm. They have a comparable tight end to Kelsey and George Kittle. They have a better defense. They have a better second. They have everything's better. Besides tight end and quarterback, they are better than Kansas City. And even with tight end and quarterback, you could say, oh, well, these two are arguably as good. They're not as good, but you could argue that they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
Better teams in San Francisco on paper, doesn't matter. Chiefs are going to win. The Chiefs will win.
That you kind of took the words right out of my mouth there. I just did my whole rant there, and I mean that's kind of my whole argument.
Find a way to win, and like, the NFL will find a way to get them the win.
Like,
not even to say that the NFL's rigged, but like they're not letting the Chiefs lose this game. They're going to find a way to win.
Mahomes and Kelsey, they find a way to win. It's not. It's a cliche to say. Yes, is it cringy? Sure, but it's really genuinely just true. There's. Every now and again, there's always just, that kind of duo that just finds a way. They make it happen. They're in sync the whole time. Like, that's really what I think it's going to be. I couldn't agree more. The 49ers are a really, really good team, but based on how they've played the past two playoff games against the Packers, against the Lions, you can't be trailing by 21 points going into the second half against the Chiefs. If that happens, there's no way in hell that they're coming back to win that game.
Kyle Shanahan's record against Andy Reid is?
What?
0-3. I think the Chiefs are going to win.
If you get down by that much at half, 21 points, you're not coming back against the Chiefs. You're just not. It's not happening.
All right. Very quick NHL discussion before we leave. I want to talk about the Leafs really quickly because you remember me complaining about Ilya Samsonov, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a stat really quickly for you. I think it was on Leafs Latest. Shout out Leafs Latest on Instagram. He runs a very good Leafs page. I think it's him. No, it might be Leafs Network, also a very good Leafs page. I don't know. I forget what it was. But it said in Ilya Samsonov's last four games, 92 saves on 98 shots, a 1.4 goals against average, and a 3-0 record.
Jesus.
He is so back.
You said 92 saves on 98 shots?
Yes.
Wow.
In three or four games, he had a 1.4 goals against average. That's crazy.
That's insane.
I am. Nothing made me happier than seeing him back. Leafs fans remind me a lot of IU basketball fans and Chicago Cubs fans, which I am both. And part of the reason why I cheer for the Leafs, like they will get on you if you're playing poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But. They were Chad Samsonov in the building. I thought that was huge to help turn them around. The Leafs currently sit with 58 points. They are in a playoff spot. They should be in the playoffs come season's end. I hope that they can win a round again. They beat the Jets twice. They won back-to-back games against the Jets, beat them 1-0. Ilya Samsonov made a save on like a 2-on-0. It was, oh my, he was standing on his head. Doing a bunch of amazing stuff. So the Leafs have been playing better. We will now get a St. Louis Blues update from Jackson. If you weren't here last time, he had to pick an NHL team at random to become his new favorite team for life. And Atlanta of the St. Louis Blues. So Jackson, how are the Blues doing?
They, before last night, they were on an absolute tear. Unfortunately, last night, the loss against the Blue Jackets ended a 5-game win streak for the Blues. And For four of those five wins, the final score ended 4-3.
In overtime, too.
No, so three of those wins were in overtime. 4-3 wins in overtime. So the streak started on January 20th with a 3-0 victory against the Capitals, 4-3 win against the Flames, then 4-3 in overtime against the Canucks, 4-3 in overtime against the Kraken, 4-3 in overtime against the Kings. And then, yeah, last night they lost 1-0 to the Blue Jackets, which kind of sucks because Jackets aren't very good. But, yeah, that's about where they're at right now. They play the Sabres on the road on the 10th. And yeah, that's been our Blues update for so far for today. I gotta say, that's a pretty good recap for that a was, brand new I was, fan. I've been knowing anything before 20 minutes ago.
The Blues are currently tied for a wild card spot with those five wins.
I left that part out.
They right now they're in the driver's seat to make the playoffs come season's end. There's still a lot of hockey left to be played.
A lot of hockey left. Yes.
All in all, they're doing pretty well. The best team point wise is who? There are two teams that have 71 points. The Canucks are still out there playing well. And the Boston Bruins. I hate them. I cannot stand them.
The Avalanche are currently in first place right now in the Central Division. 67 total points, 49 wins. I mean,
49 games played. They have 32 wins. You looked at the wrong column.
What's that?
You looked at the games played column. They have 32 wins and 17 losses.
Oh, you have 32 wins, yeah.
Overtime losses do get you 1 point, though. So
yeah, overtime losses do get you one. So
it's kind of like a tie, but if you get the win in overtime, you get the extra point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm a fan of that or not, but it's whatever. All right, I think that's gonna do it. Jackson has a meeting he has to go to, so I'm gonna have to wrap this up.
Yep.
A little bit early, but thank you guys for watching. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you next Wednesday on Bloomington Buddies.